Good day, and welcome to the Credit Bank of Moscow Quarter One 2018 Financial and Business Results Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Elena. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We are pleased to welcome you today to the first quarter 2018 Financial and Business Results Call of Credit Bank of Moscow. As part of our active investor communication program, our speakers, Vladimir Chuba, CEO, and Eric de Beauchamp, Senior Vice President, are in the U.S. today, attending regular investor conference arranged by one of the investment banks. For this reason, our team is split today and connects to the call from different locations. Therefore, we would like to apologize in advance in case of any delays in transmission or in our answers during the Q&A session. We suggest that we hold an efficient Q&A session today and conclude our call within an hour from now due to further tight schedule of my colleagues. So we are ready to start our presentation now, and I am happy to pass the floor to Vladimir Chuba, who will give an update on the key financial and business results for the reporting period. Vladimir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Yelena. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to host our first quarter 2018 results call from Miami today and hope you all enjoy the approaching summer. Thanks for your time today with us. The first months of 2018 were full of new challenges for Russian financial and corporate sectors in general, and those challenges come from both an easy local operating environment and also from outside of Russia. We strongly believe that regardless of the macro and political background, the best thing a public company can do in all times is being transparent and maintaining efficient communication with its stakeholders. This is the reason why we continuously keep active dialogue open with our investors and also why we connect from Miami to this call today. The very start of the year was quite positive for capital raisings by Russian companies and allowed us to use this window of opportunities to place senior euro bonds for $500 million at the lowest ever rate for CBM and also to sign an international syndicated loan facility for $400 million. Our performance in general in the first quarter was seasonally a bit weaker than traditionally in the rest of the year, also impacted by one-off negative effect from the implementation of IFRS 9. Asset quality in general is improving, and our strategical focus remains the same. Being an important bank partner for large corporates, developing broader range of products and facilities to serve and any sophisticated need, and also to reload our retail business development. Now, let's move to our presentation. I suggest that we start from slide number two. Net interest income increased by almost 25% as compared with the first quarter results of 2017, based on expansion of the ruble-denominated assets generating higher income. Net fee and commission reached 2.8 billion rubles and is somewhat lower than last year as a result of high competition putting pressure on the fee levels and also significant one-off gains in the first quarter of 2017. Profit in the first quarter of 2018 is 2.3 billion rubles, which is weaker than last year as a result of forex revaluation of derivatives due to local currency volatility. Net interest margin has been stable in the area of 3% during the recent year, constrained by higher liquidity buffer in the assets and downward trend in the interest rates, while net interest margin on average risk-weighted assets showed solid improvement to 5% versus 4.3% a year ago. Lower return on equity of almost 7% is a reflection of weaker profit in the first quarter. Operating efficiency is still one of the strongest in the banking sector, with the cost-to-income ratio being 40%. Gross loans to customers decreased by 15.3% from the end of 2017, mainly due to large redemptions by corporate clients and also sale of several exposures, which has already been publicly commented by us before. NPL ratio is stable and at 2.4%, even on the backdrop of large redemptions. Cost of risk has improved significantly to 0.6% from 2.5% in 2017, and so did the NPL provisioning ratio to almost 300% from 250%. Ratios strengthening stemmed from the loan portfolio reduction. As already mentioned, implementation of IFRS 9 had a one-off negative effect on the balance sheet via retained earnings. Equity decreased by 4% to 170 billion rubles from 177 billion rubles. Capital adequacy ratios remained strong with the Tier 1 ratio of 15.6% and total capital adequacy ratio of 25% almost. Now let's discuss business highlights on slide number 3. Gross corporate loans reduced by 17% in the first quarter this year and reached 607 billion rubles on the back of large repayments, as mentioned before, while retail loans ended up the first quarter almost flat to the year-end and results. Corporate loans dominate in the loan book, making 87%. Sector breakdown of corporate loans has not changed significantly, with crude oil production and trading making 22% of total loans, petroleum refining having 17% share. Residential construction standing at 10%, followed by automotive sector and food and farm making 8 and 6% respectively. In retail business, our priorities remain unchanged, with the cash loans and mortgages forming 72 and 23% of total retail loans respectively. Our strategic pillars in further business development remain the same. Key business growth driver is corporate business, supplemented by retail business, which is to return to growth shortly. New investment banking segment is to reinforce both business segments in the bank and also to ensure synergetic effect on the holding level. Now, Eric will take the floor to provide a detailed financial results review. Eric, please go ahead.
Thank you, Vladimir. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to draw your attention on slide number 4 with an overview of the bank's income and expenses. As you can see on the top left diagram, net interest income increased by 25% year-on-year to 13 billion rubles, reflecting increase of the share of ruble-denominated assets in total assets, which on average earn higher interest. At the same time, net fee and commission income decreased from 3.7 billion rubles for the first quarter of 2017 to 2.8 billion rubles for the first quarter of 2018, mainly due to the drop in currency exchange commissions from guarantee and cash handling commissions. Other net loss comprised 6.2 billion rubles, which resulted from currency revaluation of derivative financial instruments due to the volatility of the USD ruble FX rate during the first quarter of 2018. Due to this FX revaluation effect, operating income decreased year on year from 14.3 billion rubles down to 9.6 billion rubles. On the bottom left diagram, we see that the net fee and commission income decreased by 26% year on year. Increased competition made the extension of fee and commission income more challenging for the bank, but we expect a recovery on some of the components, in cash handling for instance, in further periods based on increased volume of business. Currency exchange commission decreased due to, on one hand, the decreased volatility of national currency in the reported period, and on the other hand, the significant one-off effect that we saw back in the first quarter of 2017. Commission from guarantees and letter of credit decreased mainly due to the switch to less risk types of guarantees, which are generally less profitable. As you can see on the upper right diagram, operating expenses increased slightly by only 4% year-on-year to 3.9 billion rubles. The growth was mainly due to remuneration expenses that increased to 2.5 billion rubles on the backdrop of general business development that implied attraction of highly qualified headcounts from the market. Administrative expenses remain at the level of the first quarter of 2017, while other expenses decreased to immaterial 0.2 billion rubles. The net interest margin trend is presented on the bottom right diagram. Net interest margin for the first quarter of 2018 remained stable year-on-year at the level of 3% amid a high proportion of highly liquid assets on the balance sheet of the bank. The net interest income to average risk-weighted asset ratio increased over the reporting period to 5%, reflecting the effect of massive redemptions in the loan portfolio. Now I suggest turning to slide number 5 with the breakdown of total assets. In the reporting period, total assets were maintained roughly at the level of the end of 2017, with an immaterial decrease of 1% to 1.8 billion rubles. Liquid assets, representing 64% of total assets, increased by 9% year-to-date, which was mainly driven by enlarged interbank balances, up to 909 billion rubles, with a prevailing share of repo transactions. Debt securities pledged under reverse repo transactions formed 76% of unused liquidity source available for the CBR. Coupled with unpledged on-balance sheet portfolio of Lombard lease securities, loan eligible for pledge to the CBR and eligible for the pledge of offset securities received from the Deposit Insurance Agency in 2015, formed a solid liquidity buffer which exceeded 500 billion rubles as the 1st of May 2018. Classic lending business demonstrates negative dynamics, with the net loan book decreased by 16% in the reporting period. It was mainly driven by the effect of big repayments outstripping new loan origination in the course of the first quarter. Now let's move to slide number 6 on the loan portfolio quality. At the upper left diagram, the loan portfolio coverage by impairment allowance increased to 7% on the backdrop of the loan portfolio decreased to 694 billion rubles. At the upper right diagram, the amount of NPL decreased from 20 billion rubles to 17 billion rubles during the first quarter. The loan loss provision decreased from 50 billion rubles to 48 billion rubles. The significant decrease of NPL was mainly attributable to the repayments of one big corporate from infrastructure construction sector. Loan loss provision decreased resulted from the redemption of several large corporate loans. NPL coverage ratio increased from 253% at the end of last year to 287% at the end of the first quarter. It was in line with the positive dynamics in NPL. The bottom left diagram reflects the cost of risk decrease from 2.5% at the end of last year to 0.6% at the end of the first quarter, which mainly resulted from the recovery of loan loss provision in the reporting period. The bottom right diagram depicts traditionally low level of related party lending, which was at the level of 3.2% of total gross loan portfolio at the end of March. Now I suggest turning to slide number 7 with more details on corporate and retail loan portfolio risk metrics. Resulted from several big redemptions, corporate gross loan book decreased from 731 billion rubles to 607 billion rubles in the reporting period, with a general improvement of loan portfolio quality, which was evident on one hand by NPL ratio decreased to 1.8% and cost of risk ratio decreased to 0.3%, which is shown in the bottom left diagram. On the right, the retail loan book NPL ratio increased to 7.1% as at the first quarter of 2018 on the backdrop of controlled slowdown in retail lending, which led to a further loan portfolio reduction to 87 billion rubles. The cost of risk, on the opposite, demonstrated positive dynamics, decreasing notably to 2% during the first quarter, to be compared with 3.9% in 2017. The next slide, number 8, illustrates the funding structure of the bank. Total liabilities were stable year-to-date at the level of 1.7 trillion rubles. Total customer deposits accounting for 55% of total liabilities were flat year-to-date, with enlarged share of retail deposits, which demonstrated stable growth on the backdrop of expanding in 2016 and 2017, a branch network. Retail deposits increased from 291 billion rubles at the end of last year to 307 billion rubles at the end of March 18. Deposits by credit institutions were mainly represented by repo transactions, which accounted for 83% of overall interbank balances. Q2 banks also contained term deposits, current accounts, and syndicated loans attracted in March. The wholesale debt repayment schedule is comfortable, with the bulk of international debt due after the year 2020. In February 18, the bank issued senior eurobonds in the amount of $500 million USD. The proceeds from the placement were used for repayment of $500 million senior eurobonds, which were issued in 2013. Now let's proceed to the final slide, number 9, on the bank's capital. Due to a number of transactions on capital increase accomplished in the course of 2017, the bank reached a very comfortable capital position by the end of last year. Very cautious approach to new loan origination coupled with significant redemptions led to a further improvement of capital ratios at the end of the first quarter. Regulatory minimums, including buffers applicable to systemically important banks, were by far overtopped, with L11 amounting at 9%, L12 12.7%, and L10 21.7% as at the 1st of May 2018. So these were the main highlights of the bank's financial and business results for the first quarter of 2018. Thank you very much for your attention. And now let's proceed to the Q&A session.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And we'll take our first question from Henrique Morado with Aberdeen Asset Management.
Hi. Hello. Thanks for the call. Just a couple of questions from me. Could you please just comment a little bit more on the FX loss? What was the derivative? I mean, it doesn't look like the currency was that volatile during the first quarter, so just any color would be interesting. And then the second question would be on the asset quality.
Because it will be easier for us not to forget the first one.
Okay.
Thanks for the question and for the call. In terms of your question about the FX revaluation, there was no huge volatile, but, you know, with the rules we have in RAS, which are going to IFRS, there is a on the last day of every quarter, we should use a CBR rate, and sometimes CBR rate can be different from the rate in the market or the rate which was in your swap or other derivative. I can tell you my projections for this year with this figure. So we expect from these 6 billion rubles negative result, 3 billion is one-off, and other 2 billion we are expecting that they will not be our losses, it's just technical revaluation, which will come to the zero result when derivatives will be finished. Our expectation that the full year result with this figure will be around 6 billion rubles, so the exact figure we see now. If there will be no huge, let's say, changes in the currency, but I can tell you once again, so we are not having any open positions. It's much more technical result, and so I gave you my projection until the end of the
Okay. Okay, thanks. And the second question, yeah, it was just on, you know, maybe it's got to do with IFRS 9, I'm not sure, but previously when you reported your breakdown of your loan book in terms of asset quality, there was a line that said not past due but impaired. That line has now gone down to zero. And I just wanted to understand, you know, if you could give any guidance on that, that would be great.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, you saw that from the first quarter of this year, we switched to IFRS 9. So in terms of presentation of the accounts, it's quite a number of significant change, including in the portfolio. So now, I mean, the category, which is impaired not overdue loans, has disappeared. And you have the classification with, you know, expected losses for the credit portfolio and corporate. So the presentation has changed.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. I might have to follow up offline with some questions to understand this, but this is fine. Thanks.
I think the best thing is to offline to give you some details by category, because it's quite let's say challenging when you look at it for the first time. Just on IFRS 9, so the second remark, there was, let's say, a one-off impact, let's say, when we switched from 1st of January, which was, you can see, let's say, in the decrease of retail earnings. I mean, the provision. And then, let's say, from January, we start, let's say, creating loan loss provision based on the new standard.
To any investor who wants to have some clarification on IFRS 9 or, of course, any other questions, topics, feel free to contact our IR team, because, of course, we've done a great job coming to the new standard. And, of course, we will be happy to share and to maybe go deeply to all the figures and to explain much more what was the transition result, in which areas, et cetera, et cetera.
That's fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Alan Webborn with Societe Generale.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the time to do this call today. I mean, obviously, the first question is, IFRS 9 or not, your cost of risk is dimensionally lower in the first quarter than it's been over the last four quarters. And clearly, I'm interested to know whether there is a positive IFRS 9 related one-off impact in your risk costs in the first quarter. I mean, you're normally able to give us some sort of view of where you think risk costs are going, and presumably, you don't think they're going to stay down at 60 bips on the corporate portfolio. So can you try and put this sort of new reporting in a little bit, at least, into perspective, and how we should think about the sustainable cost of risk of the bank going forward? That was the first thing.
Thank you, Alan, for the question. Hello. Good question, actually. Of course, there was much more the result from transition to IFRS 9, and of course that many changes we have now in our portfolio, provisioning came from IFRS 9. So our expectation until the end of this year is the same 2%, as we said before, I mean, cost of risk. So, of course, 0.6%, I just want to repeat once again, there was much more the one-off situation because of IFRS 9.
Okay, that's helpful. And I suppose the second part is, clearly, again, some interesting seasonal dynamics in the loan book. So, I mean, do you have a view of where you think loan book on the corporate side potentially could be this year? I mean, we're hearing from some of your peers that there's a little bit more activity coming through. There's a slow improvement, and particularly past the elections, a feeling that there are more deals to be done. I mean, how do you feel about the sort of the underlying dynamics of the corporate book going forward? And if I remember rightly, a quarter or two ago, you were talking at least and thinking about whether to revamp the retail strategy. To my knowledge, you haven't done that, and certainly sort of the progression of the retail book in Q1 would not suggest it. And so where are you in terms of that development? Thanks.
Okay. Starting from the corporate side, as we said in our presentation, there was just a number of the big deals which finished in the first quarter, and a couple of the exposures were sold, so it also was mentioned in our, PR, IR activity. In terms of our projection, so we don't see that it will be some kind of big systemical growth in our loan book. Let's make it this way. So end of the first quarter is kind of the zero level for us now because, some one-offs in the first quarter. From the beginning of the second quarter, we are expecting slow growth around 5 to 10%. So but potentially it can be higher if there will be some kind of opportunistic deals in which we can participate and in which we can lend to our borrowers. But it will be much more bigger tickets than, for example, SME lending. In terms of small companies and medium companies, we see their activity, but unfortunately the quality of them, the quality of incoming applications not very good. And our old usual suspects, our old customers, still our customers, so we're still, we like to work with them. But honestly speaking, as I said, the quality of new portfolio not very good. In terms of retail business, you're absolutely correct. I said this on the last call, which was just a couple of months ago, about a new retail strategy. It's almost done, so we're expecting to deliver it publicly within the next couple of months. And you will see it also on the second quarter result in terms of the lending activity. And even the first quarter was more positive than before because the decrease of the loan book was much smaller than, for example, last year.
Okay, that's helpful. Then maybe just one final question. In terms of your sort of salary costs, I mean, is this mainly related to further development of the investment banking, or are there other elements to it?
You're absolutely correct saying this. The big part of this came from the new business line, which we are expecting will be very good this year in terms of profitability. And, of course, there is some growth, some natural growth in the salaries because of inflation, because usually it's beginning of the year when we are rechecking our salaries if they are fine with the market. But we are not expecting some huge changes in our salary policies.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you as well. As I see, there is no other questions in the line. So if nobody wants to ask any other questions, I think we can finish the call. I know there is some other questions are coming. Sorry, we can start with the first.
And we'll take our next question from Nick Dimitrov with Morgan Stanley.
Hello? Hello, can you guys hear me? Oh, hi, good morning.
Morning.
Great. Just a quick question. I just want to make sure that I understood it correctly. So the FX losses are broken down into two, right? You said that 3 billion is a one-off, so that's a real economic loss. The other 3 billion is non-economic. In other words, there's going to be a reversal. There is a gain on the other side, correct?
Yes, this is correct, absolutely. So I just want to repeat once again. We are expecting the same 6 billion until the end of this year. So we are not expecting this figure to be increased, or decreased, if you're saying it's like minus. And 3 billion is really just, let's say, technical revaluation. It's not losses.
Got it. And my other question is going to be, on those large repayments, when I was looking at your industry breakdown, it seems like there was a very steep decline in lending in the crude oil production and trading segment and petroleum refining, so both contracted by about 20-something percent. What is driving the contraction, and do the sanctions have anything to do with this?
It's not linked to sanctions, just was the repayment day of one big loan, and it was repaid. We are expecting potentially this client can come to us once again, and with a new contract, it's a trader who is working in oil reselling. so potentially can be. So it's nothing linked to sanctions at all. It's just usual way of doing business. And somebody offered a better price to this customer, so I know who actually, and potentially mm-hmm. expecting that we can also start to work again with these guys.
All right, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you as well.
And we'll take our next question from Ruslan Gadeev with RBI.
Yeah, many thanks. Just one question, please. Could you please comment on the significant inflow of current account from a related party, please? And do you see it as a sustainable source now? So because the financial shows like 42 billion, almost 43 billion rubles. So it would be great to hear something on that one. Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry. Can you say it again a bit more louder because we hear you very bad?
Yeah, sure. Just a question concerning the inflow in the current accounts from a related party. So as I see from the financials, the figure is quite large, almost 43 billion rubles.
Yeah, as you know, there is a non-government pension fund in the structure of our holding company, Rosium. And in the very end of March, they received money came from the new contracts they made last year, and it was really one-off. So because this money, they just were on our accounts in the bank from first to second quarter, and all this money just went to their investments in the very beginning of second quarter. So it's one-off, and we are not expecting that it will be until the end of the year with such a big figure. So potentially within 1 year, in the very end of the first quarter, 2019, it can be once again the same, because they are receiving this money in the very end of the quarter, and they just technically cannot invest all of them to the new, let's say, to the market.
Okay, I see. Many thanks.
Thank you. I'm sorry, but we have to finish our call now because we have the meeting starting in a couple of minutes on the conference here in Miami. So for those who want to ask the questions and didn't have a chance to do it because of our timeline, please contact our IR team or us here in Miami. I don't know if you are here personally. So once again, thanks for the call. Thanks for being with us. Just hear you soon and maybe see you soon. Thank you.
And that does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.